News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Going to hop on some politics here as we go along this hour for sure. It is Inauguration Day. It's also MLK Jr. Day as well. You may have participated in that day of the kind of little day of service and cleanup in many parts of the city yesterday.
Also, it is Snow Day Preparation Day, I guess you could call it, as we have snow coming down tomorrow. That is very likely in the forecast right now. More on that coming up later in the hour. But right now, it's time to talk a little football, and no one better to talk football with than the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. We are, let's see, today is the 20th. Yeah, we are like just 12 days out, 13 days. Let's see. My math is terrible. We're about 2 weeks out from the Senior Bowl. And it's about that time. Jim, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Dan started off the segment here talking. I thought I was going to be talking politics or snow days. I certainly know a lot more about snow days than politics. We had 22 snow days my senior year of high school back up in Michigan. So,
wow.
That's I know everything about snow days.
You know, it's not amazing that you had that many snow days. It's amazing you remember the number of snow days that you had off in high school back then. But, yeah, we're all about to experience something that we generally don't have.
That's right. But yesterday we saw a lot of snow on the ground in these NFL games, and we'll get to tonight's big college football game and, of course, the Senior Bowl. But one player that every team is looking for is a player like Jaden Daniels and what he's been able to do coming in year one and work his way into the NFC Championship game. He's just been amazing as a rookie with the Washington Commanders, and you have quite the group of quarterbacks that are coming to the Senior Bowl this year, and you know there are plenty of teams out there that are looking for that that diamond that the Commanders found in Jaden Daniels. What do you think Jim contributed? Of course, he's a great player. What kind of system has Washington put together to help him succeed, and how can teams do that with some of these quarterbacks that are coming into the league?
Well, I think when you talk about Jalen, you just start with the poise that he had. Anyone that watched him in the SEC the last couple of years when he was at LSU, you could see that. The moments were never too big for him. I mean, there's an old scout that I used to work with, and he used to say certain quarterbacks had the right central nervous system.
Yep.
And Jaden Daniels has that. And yeah, Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator at Washington, is getting head coaching interviews right now for a reason. He really done a nice job with Jaden and really balancing the run stuff. I think a lot of people would have just as a young rookie quarterback, just let him go out there and run, have a bunch of design runs. And they haven't done that. They've really limited that. I really give all the credit to Jaden, his maturity level as a quarterback. It certainly belies his age and his experience. He plays like a much more veteran player.
I guess when it comes to evaluating quarterback, that might be that's got to be the toughest one to figure out, because you're right. It's got more to do with if you
your
take
nerves,
a bunch, yeah,
almost,
you take a
yeah.
bunch of guys that can throw the ball well, that are athletic enough to get around, do whatever. Then it really comes down to who they are, what they are. A lot tougher to evaluate, right, Jim?
It is, and that's why we're seeing Bo Nix have all the success Bo Nix had. I mean, we're going to look back on this year's quarterback class, this year's rookie quarterback class in 10 years, and with Drake May and Jaden and Bo Nix and Michael Penix, and I mean, it's just a phenomenal class. And I think the common denominator with a lot of these guys is a couple things. They play a lot of college football, so they're all all very experienced coming into the pros, and they're just wired right. You know, they're not the moments aren't too big for these guys. They've played on big stages, and we're going to see a bunch of those guys at the Senior Bowl this year. You know, they're similar, like Dylan Gabriel's coming down here from Oregon, and he broke Bo Nix's all-time college starts record. He started 63 college games because he had the extra COVID year. But I mean, when you watch Dylan Gabriel in these games, I mean, there's a calm about this guy. So I think it is. That's the hardest part to evaluate with these guys, is just how they're wired.
Well, there's a common denominator between two of the quarterbacks that will be playing tonight. Notre Dame's Riley Leonard and Ohio State's Will Howard both have accepted invites to the Senior Bowl. That is outstanding. Two of the So you will have a national championship winning quarterback who has accepted an invite.
Hopefully he's got a Southern accent.
We're hoping so. That's right. But tonight, the big game, I think they're going to kick off sometime right around 6:30. Ohio State favored by 8.5, but we have seen Notre Dame and, of course, the previously mentioned Riley Leonard take long odds and turn it in their favor already this year. So what are you seeing as we head into tonight's game, Jim?
Well, first and foremost, we are going to have a rematch of this game here in 12 days, Dalton, at the Senior Bowl. Those two guys are on opposite sides. Will Howard's going to be on the national team, and Riley Leonard is going to be on the American team, excuse me, with most of the guys from the South. I mean, the American team is really, it's really the SEC against the world in the Senior Bowl now. But, it's going to be a fun game. You know, I mean, I think Riley and Notre Dame have really kind of overachieved to get to this point. If you're just looking straight, it's straight talent. They play incredibly hard. They're a physical football team. They've lost some pieces along the way, especially defensively. And now they've got an offensive lineman down. So, Riley's kind of willed this team the entire year, and can he do it one more time? I think everyone down here is rooting for that to happen. But this is it. This is a really talented Ohio State football team. We've talked about it all fall. Mm-hmm. They are the most talented football team in college football. So I hope Riley and the guys bring it, and it's going to be one of those games. They just need to hang around. They need to hang around for three quarters and, you know, keep it within 10 going into the fourth and see if they can, pull off magic again. But it sure has been a fun little run watching these guys.
Yeah, and, you know, it's been fun. I'll say it as someone who's not necessarily the biggest Ohio State fan. It's been fun to watch them play. Yeah. They've been so great these last few games. But we saw them fall flat on their face and not that long ago. This offense has been known to kind of fall flat for a little while.
They stalled against Nebraska. Remember that game? They didn't play well that game. And, of course, they just fell flat completely against Michigan. That if you're a Notre Dame fan or if you're just pulling for Riley, it gives you a little bit of hope, right?
Yeah, and I guess you would – Notre Dame, that would probably be their best path to victory would be a Ohio State offense slowdown. But do you see that possibly in the cards tonight, Jim, the Ohio State offense, or do you think they're going to keep buzzsawing like they have been?
Well, there's no reason to think they won't, but other than this Notre Dame defense is playing really well. You know, you brought up the Michigan game, and really, they lost two offensive linemen. Ohio State did. They lost this kid Simmons, who's their left tackle, who I think is the most talented left tackle in this year's draft. And then they lost Seth McLaughlin, who Alabama fans will remember was a four-year player in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. And he won the Remington Award for the best center in college football. So they lost those guys, you know, kind of early November-ish. And they were not playing well up front on the offensive side of the ball when they were playing Michigan. They've come together. I think that extra practice time leading into the playoff has helped that unit. Getting back to your question about the offense, what this game's going to come down to, and I think Notre Dame probably knows this, when you're at a talent disadvantage, it's going to come over to turnovers and explosive plays. Like a play in the kicking game. They're going to have to turn Will Howard over a couple times like Michigan did. He threw two interceptions against Michigan. It's going to have to come down to those things. Ohio State's going to have to stumble. Notre Dame's going to have to take advantage of those, opportunities. And that's going to be the path for Notre Dame. If Ohio State shows up and plays a clean game, I think they win by two touchdowns.
Yep. Yeah, and also, but that's how Notre Dame beat Georgia. I mean, Georgia was not at their top game, but there was big turnover at the end of the first half, kickoff return to start the second half. Next thing you know, they've got a lead. You know, if they can get a lead, they've got a chance to slow this thing down. Riley knows what he's doing as far as letting the clock roll and then operating the offense efficiently enough, but not at breakneck speed, so they can maybe hold on to a lead, right?
Yeah, Dan, I think that's a great point. I mean, some teams are just better when they have a lead like that, and Notre Dame's really good sitting on clock.
Yep.
And Riley especially. I mean, you said the word efficient. That's really, I mean, I think if you describe Riley Leonard's game, overall game, I mean, that's maybe the best descriptive word is efficient. Third down situations, he moves, whether it's with his arm or his legs, he figures out a way to move the chains. They don't hit a ton of big plays in that offense. He doesn't have a bunch of great NFL weapons that he's playing with. So, but they kind of, stealing Hank Stram's old word, they matriculate the ball down the field. They're really methodical on offense, and that's kind of what they do.
Talking with Jim Nagy, he's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, which is on the way.
It is, and I mean, this time next week, it is Senior Bowl week, right? You have the FCA rally next Monday night. You have practices, and hopefully a little warmer next week than what we'll be looking at this week. But Jim, it's always, and if you can remind folks, it's the game is great, of course. We all love watching the game, being out there at Hancock-Whitney.
We were together last year at the game.
We were. But
great time.
The entire week, you have events all the way through, and then the night before, the Mardi Gras parade and the concert downtown. I mean, it's not just a Saturday event. This is all week, really starting Monday night. How are things going right now as far as making sure the players are ready to come down? And I know a ton goes into coordinating all of that.
Yeah, staff's doing a great job. We were all in the office all weekend, in preparation. Yeah, we got the coaching staffs on board last week. So we have the offensive coordinator of the Giants, Mike Kafka, coaching one team. Mike just interviewed for the Saints head coaching job a couple weeks ago. So he's in the mix for some big jobs. And the other guy's Bubba Ventrone, who's the special teams coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, who I was in New England when we drafted Bubba back in 2005, so it makes me feel a little old that he's coaching in our game. But no, we've got, all the flights are booked. The guys will be here on Sunday. The coaches get in Saturday. So it is. It's a big week. We got our local media day downtown at the office today. And we got Eugene Asante, the linebacker from Auburn, and Jarquez Hunter, the running back from Auburn, coming over. And we've got Shamar James, the former Faith Academy star. Florida linebacker will all be at Senior Bowl headquarters around lunchtime. And it's here. I mean, it's truly here. The guys we're moving the equipment out to the stadium on Friday. So it's here, and we're cranked up. We're excited. You brought up the parade on Friday night. Great opportunity for people to come out and get autographs and meet the players along the parade route. And then, the concert there in Cathedral Square, we're moving it from Mardi Gras Park to Cathedral Square again this year. I hadn't been over there in a couple of years, and it's going to be the Eli Young Band and Sammy Kershaw, a couple country acts in Cathedral Square. So yeah, we're excited for all of it. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a bunch going on. Next week, of course, is the week. Like Dalton said, it's not all about just the game, but so many activities and watching practice, you can go out there and do that as well.
Oh yeah.
So we'll talk to you next week, Jim, and get all the particulars so people can know exactly what's going on leading up to the game, okay?
All right, guys. Only 2,000 tickets left, and we sold 3,000 last year during game week. So hop on to SeniorBowl.com.
Thank you. That's good advice.
SeniorBowl.com. Yeah, get them now.
Good promotion and good advice.
Jim Nagy, Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director. Coming back, a lot to get to. Inauguration, snow on the way. Did you hear about the Biden pardons? Dr. Anthony Fauci, General Mark Milley, the January 6th committee, all of that we'll get into coming up.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings at 8:24. Inauguration Day is today, and I think things get underway around 10:30 our time, and the inauguration itself at 11 o'clock. Again, the Azalea Trail Maids, sad news. They were set to be part of the festivities in the parade outside in D.C. today, but everything's been moved inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the parade's basically been canceled.
Yeah.
And so there is no, there's no need for them, as it turns out.
That stinks.
Yeah, it does.
It's going to be awesome.
They might have gone up there. I know St. Paul's is a school. They went up there. They have a annual bus ride to D.C. to see things. And they actually visited Zach.
Wow.
Yeah, they visited Zach's gravesite.
That is great. Yeah. I
appreciate that.
So you have the inauguration today, and Dan laid out in story number one all of the executive orders that Trump is going to start signing immediately. So I guess I'll say this. If you are down at the beach right now, maybe go ahead and stick your toes into the Gulf. And I know it's cold, but this could be your last chance to stick your feet in the Gulf of Mexico.
Because of the Gulf of America.
He's renaming it the Gulf of America today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Gulf of Mexico will be rechristened the Gulf of America. and Denali, the highest peaked mountain in North America, will revert back to Mount McKinley, which it was called in the site of the U.S. government before former President Barack Obama changed the name in 2015. Is Big Map part of this? Because they're going to make a lot more money printing maps that say Gulf of America and Denali.
So
where's Mount McKinley?
Where's Mount McKinley in the United States?
It's in the far northwest, right?
Like Washington?
It's in Alaska. What am I thinking about? Yeah, of course it's in Alaska.
Okay.
So he's going to rename that Mount McKinley, closer to us, quite a bit closer to us. The Gulf of Mexico will now be known as the Gulf of America. The renaming of the two natural features is to honor American greatness, according to a preview of the orders. The document says President Trump is bringing common sense to government and renewing the pillars of American civilization. The draft document indicated the return of Mount McKinley is of special importance to Trump. 20,310-foot summit elevation, tallest peak in North America. It was named Mount McKinley in 1917 in honor of the Republican president who had been assassinated 16 years earlier. And they said McKinley's been an inspiration for Trump, both in terms of his tariff policies and his expansion of U.S. territory following the Spanish-American War. So renaming the mountain and renaming the Gulf, says Trump had also discussed renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America in a press conference at Mar-a-Lago earlier this month, saying it had a beautiful ring to it. What a beautiful name, and it's appropriate, he said at the time. And the draft praised the Gulf for being pivotal in the maritime industry and its energy production, international commerce, tourism, fishing, and recreation.
What else do you have? He's got anything up his sleeve in... Well, the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, that's in our area.
Mm-hmm.
But like renaming Wagerville, Youngstown, Ohio? Something. I mean, just is there anything else that's going to affect us down? And you were talking about the ski
bases.
Slopes in Mount Vernon are going to be busy tomorrow.
Yeah, when will the ski lift open there in Mount Vernon?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the military bases that had been renamed, that's a pillar of what the incoming Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, he said, yeah, we need to change those back. So I don't know if that's part of these first round of over 200 executive orders. That will probably have to be more of a congressional move, I would assume. But speaking of orders by presidents, that's the other big story this morning, and we can get into it further with you here.
It really is, and it's just under the, you know, it's I don't know. I have a lot of feelings about all this. I mean, we saw it coming, but go ahead.
Yeah, I thought there was a chance that Biden would not pardon these people, but he ended up doing it here this morning, his last act in office, I guess. Biden issued preemptive pardons for retired General Mark Milley. You might remember Milley. I remember him mostly for the time when, you know, we were going back and forth with China, and he... And I can't remember if that was in an article or if it was in a book, but he basically told China, hey, if Trump tells us to act militarily, I'm going to let you know about it, which is treason.
Yeah.
Straight up treason. He said, I'm not going to follow through on his orders and I'll let you know about it. And he's also, of course, taken shots at Trump. And he had his book called Trump a Fascist, or that was in the Bob Woodward book, quoting Milley, calling Trump a fascist, called him a wannabe dictator. So Milley has been pardoned. Dr. Anthony Fauci has been pardoned. And then members of the January 6th House Committee, including Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, Adam Schiff.
Why would you have to pardon people if they did nothing wrong?
That's the question everyone's asking. Can you be pardoned if you never did anything wrong? And apparently, so they said.
It looks like, that's not to say that they didn't do anything wrong.
Quite a few of these people that were pardoned, at least publicly, were saying they didn't want to be pardoned because it would give off that air of impropriety. And some of them think they're clean, but some, like Mark Milley, are very appreciative they got that pardon.
Wow.
He said he was deeply grateful, didn't want to spend whatever remaining time the Lord grants me fighting those who unjustly might seek retribution for perceived wrongs.
Yeah. Or just...
834 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Coming to the text line here in just a moment. 251-343-0106. This segment brought to you by CASA Mobile. CASA, an acronym, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. They do their work here in Mobile County, transforming the lives of children and youth who get caught up in the child welfare system. It's a local nonprofit that provides one consistent, caring volunteer who's been trained to advocate for each child's best interest. And right now, they're putting out a call because Casa Mobile urgently needs more volunteers to reach their goal of serving every abused and neglected child in Mobile County. Their mission is to find someone who will address that child's right to a safe, loving, and permanent home. And that person could be you. Volunteer training actually starts a week from tonight, January 27th. And they have classes basically every 3 days, and these volunteer training classes from 5:30 to 8:30 in the evening to try to work around some of those work schedules. If you feel a calling and you're interested in that, you can find out some more information at casamobile.org. That's casamobile.org. Or if you're interested in learning more about this organization or donating, you can do that as well at casamobile.org. CASA, that is a group that Nick Saban very closely involved with, something that he thinks that they're put on this earth for a good purpose, and that's why he's involved, and I agree. CasaMobile.org.
Good text from Joshua, who says, so we have urban legends, the Plateau Magazine Wolf Woman, 1971. I don't remember that one.
Me neither.
Crichton Leprechaun, of course, 2006. And I hope I hope this is our new one, the Tillman's Corner Meth Monkey Myth, 2025. He says at the end, I added the meth part myself.
We'll have to get into that here in the next segment. The monkey attack at the Tillman's Corner Starbucks on, I think it was, Friday morning. It's never a good time to be attacked by a monkey in a drive-thru, but especially at 8:30 in the morning when you're just trying to get the coffee out the door.
Maybe you just did your hair, too. You know, you were looking good, and then here comes a monkey biting your ear off. Kid Rock got the party going yesterday. He played, there's a rally yesterday at the arena in Washington, D.C. He also appeared on Fox and Friends. And he just talked about the palpable shift in energy that he's feeling in the nation's capital and in Hollywood as well. It's kind of like it's okay for a celeb to say they voted for Trump.
I mean, welcome to the party, like I've said. better to have him on board than not. Yeah. And you can just tell there's a whole change in the air. There's a whole shift in everything. I think people are they saw what he did the first time. When you really look at the facts and the numbers and how great it was, and it's only going to be better from there. Yeah. The feeling's everywhere. And the things he said that he's going to get done is just, the excitement, especially if you're on our side, it's through the roof. But I think people, all reasonable people,
right,
I feel, are understanding. Just like if we would have got a reasonable Democrat. Like, it's okay. Like, we think differently on a lot of things. But if you're a reasonable person, I really got to stress reasonable, because Lord knows there's some fruitcakes out there.
Remember the, we got together and we were in the back studio. I guess this was election night when we started.
Tuesday, November 5th.
Yeah. George Williams might have been on the air, so we had to start out.
In the podcast room,
right.
Studio B.
And we were all talking about the election. This is the election night, so this was the day that it happened, and the day that by, I guess, 10 o'clock that night, it was pretty much, hay was in the barn.
No, well, it was.
Trump had won.
I don't know if 10 o'clock. It was pretty late when you finally got him out there on the stage. It was well after midnight.
Okay.
But, yeah, it wasn't as long of a wait as we saw in 2020.
And we were just batting things around. And one of the things that I was noticing, I said, somehow during this whole last 6 months or so leading up, might have had to be, might have been what was going on in the podcast world, where Trump was appearing there. It might have been the Democrats' constant drumbeat of Hitler and Nazi and just way, just kind of characterizing him unfairly. But they've been doing that for years, and I said, something's happened where he's more normalized. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I don't know exactly what it was, that the Trump name didn't mean what it meant in 2015, 2016. And even the Trump, his approach to the job was way different in 2016. Was like, oh, I won. Now I've got, right? And this time around, he's got all the organizationally, he's got a lot of people who are widely liked and respected on his team.
Yeah, and you look at how many people at least are showing a willingness to work with Trump. You just have to look at the Inauguration Day prayer service they had this morning. Joe Rogan was there, which isn't a huge surprise. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos,
yep.
Facebook, Meta founder Mark Zuckerberg in that church service, Apple CEO Tim Cook, all these at a church service this morning for Trump's inauguration. Of course, they will be attending the inauguration later. Google's Sundar Pichai. So they were all there at the church service this morning. That's pretty big news. Rupert Murdoch. It'll be interesting to see. Well, first off, making it through the inauguration today, because as far as Trump safety, and I'd say we ain't out of the woods yet, but we ain't going to be out of those woods for at least another 4 years,
yeah,
right?
Agree. I agree.
If you look at his motorcade, and I saw them, saw a video of the motorcade arriving to Trump Force One before the weekend, I guess, or maybe Friday. It was Friday or Saturday. And, of course, they fly, you know, in that motorcade. They're all going bumper to bumper about 90 miles an hour everywhere they go. And you have the lead vehicles, and then you have the vehicles that one of the shell game that is, which one is the president in, right? Where you have four identical vehicles that are all built tough, built to fight against those assassination attempts. But they have, like, I don't know how new this tech is on these vehicles, but like an antenna sticking up. So if you watch this video, you'll see the lead cars in the motorcade. Then you'll see four that look exactly identical. I think that's one of those that the president's in. And on the top, you have this signal thing. And that is like anti-drone technology, okay, as far as from what I can understand. Just think, this day and age where drones, so cheap,
yeah,
so fast, so mobile, and what kind of, I mean, we see in warfare how they're used. In assassination attempts, that is a new kind of era, right? And that's something that the Secret Service has to look out for. So as they made that move on Friday to move the inauguration from outdoors to indoors, I know the weather played a big part in it. And I know liberals are saying, well, he only moved it indoors because the crowd wasn't going to be there, and all he cares about is the crowd size. I would bet, and I would put a lot of money down, that the biggest reason they moved this thing inside was security. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I think so. And maybe the weather played into it. It's mm-hmm. like, it's going to be freezing cold.
People, yeah.
We don't need people to be out there in the cold for that long. But it might have been like, okay, now we can move it indoors.
If Mother Nature yes. is going to give us this olive branch, yes. we'll take it, right?
Yeah.
So, and then you had, you know, the Biden acts this morning. But Trump is going to, I guess you could say he's already started his presidency with this whole TikTok thing over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So TikTok, who said, hey, we're going to shut down just as we were supposed to on Sunday.
And they did.
I think they closed the doors a little early
yeah.
on Saturday,
yeah.
shut things down, and then brought it back up yesterday.
Because of Trump's promise of what he was going to do
yeah. so
beginning
Trump,
today.
He said he'll grant TikTok a 90-day extension on its potential ban when he takes office. After the U.S. Supreme Court ruled to unanimously ruled to uphold that law banning TikTok unless the parent company of ByteDance sells it. Trump said he's going to give them the extension for more time for a potential sale or merger. The TikTok CEO, who will be at the inauguration today, at least has been invited, has expressed gratitude for Trump's willingness to find a solution and keep the app available in the U.S. They did go dark there for just a few seconds. There was also this. President-elect Trump has pledged, and did this in the speech last night, pledged to release government files on the assassinations of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow.
Part of a transparency push. He announced it yesterday and said he will make those records public in the coming days. I mean, think about that on this MLK Day, releasing the documents regarding the assassination of MLK, but also JFK and RFK. People have been asking for that forever, for those documents to be put out.
Yep.
And what'll that look like? If there is more detail in the theory that the federal government played a role in any or all of those, what does that mean?
What does that mean to the morale of the nation? Like, wow. So I thought maybe that happened that way, but now if it's out there, it's proven. I mean, that it's almost like, heard the conversation, I think it was Tucker Carlson was talking on his podcast, and he was saying, you know, I was always aware that things were going on in other nations, fixing elections and things like that. And then it occurred to me, you know, why wouldn't it be, if we, for instance, American assets and fixing elections in other nations or doing mm-hmm. whatever they can.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the most important election is our election.
Right.
And why would they not look at the opportunity or possibility of being nefarious in November in America.
Yeah, I mean, you're just ignorant if you think that might not happen, right?
Right, and then you go on with these, what are these papers going to say? What are we going to learn that we didn't know as a fact when these things are released?
And then another big thing people are ready to see get started are these deportations. And remember, word has been for months that they will start in some of these sanctuary cities, specifically Chicago.
Yeah.
And now it looks like they might take a beat on that and wait a little bit. The Trump administration reportedly reconsidering immigration raids in Chicago because they said specific details on these raids leaked last week. Tom Homan, who's the incoming border czar, said the decision's pending due to that leak because it could endanger officers. The raids were planned to start immediately after he was inaugurated today. Homan emphasized the enforcement goals are nationwide and not just limited to Chicago, but they're aimed at making undocumented immigrants fear arrest and go ahead and self-deport, which is what Florida's asking right now. They said, hey, if you're in the country illegally, now's your chance to get on out.
You don't want to get hassled.
Right.
The leak. Leave on your own.
They said it caused concerns about officer safety and the effectiveness of the operation. Leaks will be a big part of these first few months as well.
Yeah, because,
from within the halls of the federal government.
Yes, leaks for sure. Leaks from the media. You know, we're going to keep a close eye on the CNNs, the NBCs, MSNBC, the way that they portray what's going on with the deportation. Also, you have these are some really dangerous people, gang members and gangs among them. So there should be a level of concern. Like, this is not going to be a day in the park here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people are not going to go quietly.
Right.
Because they're armed and dangerous.
Yeah. And you don't want, you know, officers walking into an ambush,
right,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Larry from Daphne texted in and said, wouldn't it be interesting if Trump releasing those documents about those assassinations, and it turns out the federal government just kept hidden foreign assassinations, and that generally speaking, all the conspiracy theories were wrong about the feds being involved. Said the truth coming out is good no matter what. Yeah, I agree with you 100% there, Larry. Give us the truth. This texter said, to be clear, Trump is now pro-TikTok and we're canceling immigration rates. Yeah, on first read, basically it. But yep, they're canceling those immediate raids in Chicago, or maybe postponing them because they said specific details were put out there.
Yeah.
Same texter said, China said they're not selling TikTok. It was all just show. This texter says, gentlemen, anyone who cares already knows the CIA killed JFK. When you say already knows, I mean, there's good evidence, right, that possibly happened, but already knows, you're still saying that's the way it looks, right? You don't have straight evidence that the CIA did it, even though there's a very healthy portion of people who say, yeah, that looks like what happened, until they release the docs, and that might not even give us clarity. But
isn't this one of these docs on RFK?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, JFK, RFK, no, and MLK.
Okay,
so,
all right.
All the men that you know by acronyms.
He's Kennedy, gonna Kennedy the, King, yeah.
By their initials, I should say. This texter said, let's see, I don't even TikTok. Hey, I don't either. Chris and Daphne, who has Trump recommended for his Washington press secretary? So that is Caroline
Leavitt,
and she's been the comms manager for his campaign, and then got the promotion to White House press secretary. I wonder when that'll crank up, too, when we'll see our first press briefing there in D.C. And, you know, also with the changing of the guard, the new president coming in, you also get a lot of new reporters, new White House beat reporters from all these different organizations. Because remember, CNN, it was all Jim Acosta for 4 years, battling back and forth with Trump.
Yeah, well, is he going to remain?
No, so he's been out for a while. CNN brought a new one in these last 4 years.
They're putting him on, like he's got his own show at midnight.
I didn't realize that.
They tried to tell him, this is a good thing for you, Jim. You're going to be a big deal on the West Coast.
You're going to be a star.
Yeah, on the West Coast.
So that's also a kind of an interesting thing when you see all these new faces start to show up in the briefing rooms and start to hassle the president. And that's another thing I'm interested in. How thorny is the media going to be in that in that room? How are they going to push as hard against Trump as they did those first 4 years? I guess we'll see. If you watch Margaret Brennan with CBS, it seems like it's going to be same old, right?
Yeah, but it is interesting to see some Republicans on the main stage of the Sunday morning shows, you know, on CNN, on CBS. I know that they have Republicans on there. I'm not saying that they only have Democrats, but it just seemed like Republicans are going to be now interviewed more often because of the fact that they're in power in every way you can slice and dice it up.
As Texter says, I guess I'm the only voter who is actually a little worried that these big tech companies who are in bed with China are all at the inauguration. And it does give me pause that you have these, you know, the Zuckerbergs, the Bezoses, all jumping on board. I'm not 100% sure I'm comfortable with that. I'll just say that much, and what kind of power they may wield because of that. But they were clearly driven away from the other party, who they thought was their team.
Yeah.
They didn't like the regulation there.
Yeah.
And the Fed's kind of trying to, you know, squeeze in on some of their business there. 251-343-0106 if you want to join the show.
Trump's going to do enough today to make your head spin, isn't he? He's going to get after it real quick.
Yeah, it'll be tough to pick the three big things tomorrow. That is for sure.
That's right.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show here in minutes, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler in hour number one. Also, Dale Jackson with WVNN. He'll be screaming about something right around 10:30. And then in the third hour, Greg Davis with Alcap joining the Jeff Poor Show. And for us, snow tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the timeline is we wake up tomorrow, everything's still fine. Mm-hmm. The snow is coming off the Gulf of Mexico, the Gulf of America now, to change our forecast. So it's actually rising from there, and we're Dr. Bill's best guess right now is around noon, and then snow throughout the day, maybe into the night. So will things be kind of treacherous on Wednesday morning? I think maybe, yeah, might be a little bit, maybe during the day tomorrow, and then into, you know, our drive-in on Wednesday morning might be one where we got to take our time.
Yeah, and, you know, schools with today off because of MLK Day, of course, that's usual, right?
Yeah.
But losing tomorrow, at the very least, and then Wednesday, these kids just got like 2 weeks off. But you don't get snow days very often, and I am so excited. I'm hoping I'll be able to leave early enough tomorrow that I can get to the kids. And if there's enough snow on the ground, watch them play out there. That's something I have not gotten to see. And they're 6 years now for the oldest and 4 for the youngest. Haven't seen them play in snow. So I'm looking forward to that. And the dogs, of course, getting after it, too.
We've initiated our biggest snowman contest. Send us a picture tomorrow as you're building. And on Wednesday morning, we'll assess all those pictures and try to find the most
jolly looking,
jolly or just most girth, like a big'un.
So going for girth, not height. Height, not girth.
We'll decide in the middle.
Okay,
of it, I guess,
all right. It's just in the eye of the judges,
Like SEC refs. We'll just we'll figure it out as we go.
So 1 to 3 inches possible. We'll start seeing that snow come down middle of the day, into the afternoon tomorrow.
If we get 3 inches, you can make a snowman with that.
No doubt about it. And main thing here also is it is just going to be frigid. Let's get used to it. It's cold today. It's going to be freezing tomorrow. I don't think we're going to get above 32. And,
yeah, tomorrow, you're right. It's not going to get above freezing.
Wednesday, we'll get a little warm up. But we should, if we do get enough snow accumulated, it should kind of hang around for a little bit, which is also really cool.
It's going to be cold, so it'll just stay there right, you know, on the ground, on the road. Just be careful.
And I wish we could have dedicated the full hour to this story from Lanyap on Friday. Scott Johnson doing the hard work of getting this scoop from the Tillman's Corner Starbucks where a monkey jumped through the drive-thru window Friday morning. Officers with MPD were called to the Starbucks on Rangeline near Halls Mill, learned that a customer's pet monkey leapt from their vehicle and into the restaurant through the drive-thru window and attacked an employee. And Lanyap actually got images of the injuries to this employee who wanted to remain anonymous.
Yeah,
maybe she didn't want other monkeys finding out that she had been attacked.
She's just part of it, just ganging up on her.
Exactly. So, but, I mean, she got scratched on the ear pretty good, bit at least on the hand, and looks like an older, I don't know, woman? I don't want to say older lady. It's tough to see the picture. Just saying she's wearing a jacket that looks like something Cruella de Vil would put on probably. But they have a picture of her in the car with this monkey.
Have charges been filed against her with all this? And
they said she could face charges.
Okay.
It remains an active animal services investigation. You know how those are.
Oh, yeah.
But
they're the best of the best.
So the woman actually went in to check on the employee but didn't want to give her name up. And my favorite Lane F asked her for comment. She said, I'm not willing to put my primate at any more risk, so no thank you.
Jeff Poore is up next. Dan and Dalton, see you tomorrow. And all that snow.